This interview with Professor Andy Gould of Ohio State University about microlensing is part of the Jodcast. For the full show, visit jodcast.net.
I'm sitting with Professor Andrew Gould from Ohio State University, who I believe is an expert on microlensing. Can you perhaps explain the difference between microlensing and macrolensing?
Both of these are gravitational lensing, and both occur when light from some distant source is bent by the gravity of a more nearby object. But in macrolensing, the nearby object, or nearby object, is a galaxy, which might be several hundred billion times the mass of the sun, whereas in microlensing, the mass is just a single star, which would be similar to the mass of the sun. And so the angle that the bending angle is much less. It's typically a thousandth of an arc second compared to typically one arc second for macrolensing.
And can you tell us about the different applications of microlensing?
Well, microlensing started off with just one basic application, which was to look for dark matter. And those were experiments that were conducted beginning about 20 years ago. And they were looking for dark matter in the form of compact lumps of things. So there's two basic ideas on dark matter. One is that it's failed stars, just small little clumps of ordinary matter. And the other was that it was made of some mysterious new fundamental particle that was spread kind of uniformly throughout space. And if it was the lumps of things, then microlensing could detect it because these lumps, even though they were dark, would get in front of some star and magnify it. But if it was continuous matter, it wouldn't have any effect. And the net result of that experiment is that the continuous matter, what are called WIMPs, weakly interacting massive particles, won out because the microlensing failed to detect substantial amounts of dark matter. But today microlensing is moving on to a lot of other applications, and I'd say the most dramatic application is to search for extrasolar planets. So far we've discovered only six extrasolar planets compared to a few hundred that have been discovered by other methods like the radial velocity or Doppler technique. But we're probing a unique part of parameter space, including the very cold outer parts of solar systems, which are not well attacked by other methods. And we found that probably most stars have a cold Neptune, so similar to our own Neptune, a little bit closer to the star. And that was very unexpected. And we think that in the future we'll be going to be able to detect Earth mass planets using this technique once we get a little, catch our stride a little bit more. But it has other applications as well. When microlensing magnifies a star, sometimes it can magnify it 200, 500, even 1,000 times. And sometimes these stars are so faint to begin with, we can't really study them before they're lensed. But now, after they get lensed, then we can put big telescopes like the Keck telescope and take spectra of them and find out things about the stars that we couldn't do otherwise. Well, that's just a few of the applications, really.
Can you perhaps explain in more detail how you use gravitational lenses to detect planets around other stars?
Well, this is really quite a frenetic activity. So the microlensing causes takes the form of microlensing events, where gradually the nearby star becomes more aligned and then less aligned with the more distant star. It becomes very closely aligned in a handful of cases, then the nearby star becomes highly magnified. And then if the nearby star has a planet, and that planet is near one of the images, one of the light rays coming by from the more distant star, then it will further deflect that light and causes an extra little blip in the light curve. So what we do is we search for these very high magnification events, which, as I say, are quite rare. And then when they go off, then we try to mobilize telescopes all over the world to look at them as intensely as possible. Actually, the majority of the telescopes that we're using are small telescopes run by amateurs in just out-of-the-way places, because by having a network all around the world, that's how we can catch the event. So we don't really need the giant telescopes that maybe you read about in other places. Just 30-centimeter or 50-centimeter telescopes are quite big enough for us.
Were there any special results reported during this conference?
Well, there are a lot of exciting results and plus new ideas. So there's people are reporting about planets that have been discovered in the last couple of seasons, both the 2006 season and 2007 season. And maybe there's a couple of planets that we feel very confident about and a few more work in progress. So the nature of this conference is not to have very polished work, but just to report things that are developing. It really looks like maybe we have a half a dozen more planets but we'll have to wait till another year of effort before we can really be sure of the characteristics of these planets.
Thank you very much.